Rodney King and JFK, a whitewash, a hoodwink on the USA. Martin Luther King was murdered too. Another cover up would make a fool of you. Whitewash. Whitewash. You can't cover up what happened to Rodney King. And we know it's our eyes. We should have believed. Died for what we believe, November 22nd, 1963. In a crossfire of bullets while the cameras rolled, and the people heard the shots from the grassy knoll. Now the Warren Commission gave their lengthy report. A lone nut did it all, but he never got to court. But they couldn't cover up what we saw on TV. Now we know it's our eyes, we should have believed. They couldn't cover up what they did on TV. The JFK and Rodney King. You might be black, you might be poor white trash. The verdict came in according to plan, with the money set aside for the protesting fan. But the protest turned to riots in the maddening crowd, and for what happened next, no one can be proud. The president says the hippies are to blame. If you believe that, you've been whitewashed again. Can't cover up what we saw on TV. And we know it's our eyes, we should have believed. We know it's our eyes, we should have believed. We saw JFK and Rodney King. You might be black, you might be poor white trash. Well, the burning and looting cost 700 mil, but it don't hold a candle to looting the SNLs. And you talk about the murder and the bodily harm, but they're still busy bragging about Desert Storm. And it happened in Grenada and Panama too. Ask the widows and the orphans about the whitewash they used. Well, you can't cover up what we saw on TV. Now we know it's our eyes, we should have believed. They can't cover up what we saw on TV. The JFK and Rodney King. You might be black, you might be poor white trash. We saw on TV. Now we know it's our eyes. We should have believed. They can't cover up what we saw on TV. The JFK and Rodney King. You might be black, you might be poor white trash. Whoa. They can't cover up what we saw on TV. Now we know it's our eyes. We should have believed. What we saw on TV, the JFK and Rodney King. Can't cover up what we saw on TV, the JFK and Rodney King. You might be black, you might be poor white trash. Can't cover up what we saw on TV. They can't cover up what happened to Rodney King.
Hello, this is Paul Kangas on program Reality Sandwich, the investigation of the world that we live in today and how we got into the mess we're in. You probably have heard that George Bush and the CIA are running around claiming that somebody attempted to assassinate George Bush while he was over in Kuwait picking up some money and a degree. Well, there's a lot more to it now that they have put on trial 16 people they arrested. Now, no shots were fired. Nobody was injured, not even scratched. And yet they've got 16 people on trial, and they're going to execute these 16 people. They're going to kill these witnesses to the situation so that they can cover up the situation. They can cover up the fact that there was no conspiracy to kill Bush. And now they're trying to blame it on Iraq. Iraq's response, of course, was the most appropriate thing said in this whole situation. The government of Iraq published an editorial in their newspaper that we do not assassinate dead people, referring to Bush's election defeat last November, which touched off celebrations in Baghdad streets by the tens of thousands of happy Iraqis with banners and slogans depicting Bush as a skeleton or a corpse. Bush is already dead, and he does not deserve for us to waste several kilograms of explosive on him. But Kuwait and Bush continue to insist that the plot was real. Now, most of the world press, of course, ignored this, and only when a couple of CIA assets in our Congress started talking about it on the floor of Congress did nobody paid any attention to it until congressmen started reading it into the congressional record. Then the CIA and ABC tried to make an issue out of it. Now, what's going on here, if you look at the bigger picture, is George Bush is paranoid for some reason. In April, when Bush flew to Kuwait to bask in the gory glory of his Desert Storm genocide, but while Bush was there, he began acting very strange. It seems he feared someone might try to take revenge for his past work, his peace work, that is, the peace of the graveyard. When Bush came back, he issued a story through a CIA-run ABC news agency that, quote, "I think someone tried to assassinate me in Kuwait." Now, the story was totally ignored by the world press until a few CIA asset congressmen read the baseless claim into a congressional record. Then these same Congress clowns ordered their children doing summer work in the FBI to take a vacation in Kuwait and investigate. Congress acted faster to investigate the Bush assassination jokes than it did to investigate the assassination of President Kennedy. Congress will now spend more money investigating this new Bush joke than they did to investigate the assassinations of Dr. Martin Luther King, Senator Robert Kennedy, or President John Kennedy. Now, Kuwait, you remember, is no stranger to conspiracy theories. After all, conspiracies really do exist. And Kuwait is quite aware of the basis for a conspiracy and what a conspiracy is. Since Bush armed Iraq and then had his ambassador, Alice Gillespie, invite Iraq to invade Kuwait in 1990 to recover the vast oil fields that the British had illegally taken from Iraq, and then after Bush armed Iraq, Bush turned around and stabbed Iraq in the back. So the Kuwaitis are living on the edge of the next war, knowing that it's been set up. And the Kuwaitis are understandably prone to seeing conspiracies even where none exists. Even their daily newspapers carry weekly fabricated reports of imagined Iraqi plots to assassinate government leaders, military maneuvers, and a vast conspiracy threatening Kuwait. Now, there is indeed a conspiracy against Kuwait, and anybody that suffered in the last war probably is participating in it. Now enters George Bush, master assassin and mass murderer, upon this stage of fear and loathing. And just think about it. Bush enters this arena with all the nervousness that's going on in the Middle East because of the situation that he created. Can we imagine the mindset of somebody like Bush as he arrives in Kuwait? Here is the man who spent most of his life living as a spook, from his early training by his father. Senator Prescott Bush was on the Senate Banking Committee, the man who created the election ticket of Eisenhower and Nixon. And then Bush in his college days in a group called Skull and Bones. So George has been steeped in the art of double dirty tricks and double dealing and codes and spooks and assassinations. You got to remember his father, mastermind the Nixon Dirty Tricks campaign against California Congressman Jerry Voorhees. Voorhees, you might remember, was the one who wrote a book called Out of Debt, Out of Danger, calling for canceling the national debt way back in the 40s. He was talking about, look, in his book Out of Debt, Out of Danger, he talked about how if you don't stop this national debt from growing, by the 1990s, the country will be bankrupt. And he wrote this back in the 40s. And because he wrote the book, and Prescott Bush was on the Senate Banking Committee trying to rip off the country, and Voorhees was trying to warn the country, well, they ran Nixon against Voorhees and got rid of Voorhees. So likewise, Prescott Bush trained his son George. And likewise, George has trained his sons, who I'm sure will be making their political comeback in 1996, probably be running against Clinton. Everything that's going on right now is preparing for the 1996 election. Not everything, but a lot of what's going on. It's focusing on attacking Clinton. Now, some people look at Clinton, they say, wow, I don't like Clinton. But think, would you rather have Dole, some clown like Robert Dole, or would you rather have George Bush, or would you rather have Clinton? I know. Everybody's saying, well, I'd rather have Hillary Clinton. Yes, I would too, but we don't have Hillary Clinton. Well, we do, actually. Look at the programs that Clinton is proposing. He's got the greatest one going. He's got is the proposal to give each high school graduate $20,000 straight from the government so they don't have to go through a bank, a non-interest-bearing loan, no interest loan to high school students to go to college. And then they don't even have to repay it back if they will go to work for the government when they get out of college. That is the greatest thing Clinton has got going, and we've got to speak up and support that. So let's take a look back at the Kuwaiti situation here, this George Bush assassination joke. Here is a man who has been in the CIA. George Bush has been in the CIA since the 1960s. Since the Bay of Pigs. You remember probably his CIA front company, Zapata Oil, used ships named after his wife, the Barbara, and his hometown, the Houston, to invade Cuba in 1961. George Bush is part of that. And if you want to read about it, there's a book out on it called JFK and Vietnam by Fletcher Prouty. On page 280, it talks about George Bush's role in the invasion of Cuba. Now, yet at this point in history, George Bush denies being in the CIA, 1961, denies being involved in the invasion of Cuba. Why would he deny it unless he's trying to cover up something? He keeps denying this. What bloody deeds is Bush still trying to cover up by denying what every expert on the Bay of Pigs knows? That George Bush was in the CIA in 1961 and part of the invasion of Cuba. If you want to read another article on it, see The Nation magazine for August 16, 1988, page 18, entitled, Where Was George? Some reporter found an FBI document indicating George Bush was in the CIA, that George Bush was part of the invasion of Cuba, and that George Bush was directly involved in the assassination of John Kennedy. There's actually been several reporters have found several documents like this. The most, about the same time, the San Francisco Examiner found another FBI document indicating George Bush was directly involved in the assassination of John Kennedy. Tell you a secret. I can't say these things in public unless I can support them with evidence. It's considered slander for me to say something, to accuse a person of a criminal activity. You can't do that in public unless you can prove it, because truth is the defense. If it's the truth, you can say it. If it's not true, if you can't prove it, you can't say it. Okay, we can prove it. And there's quite a bit of evidence that's been gathered together now on this. Now, to further understand the mind of George Bush, it's useful to take a look at several photos indicating that Bush and his Bay of Pigs veterans were in Dallas the day of the assassination of John Kennedy. In fact, E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis were arrested for the assassination of John Kennedy in Dallas, Texas. They were working for George Bush and Richard Nixon when it happened. The best book on the subject is, of course, if you listen to this program, you know, Coup d'etat in America by Weberman and Canfield, probably the two greatest investigative journalists in the history of the United States. They, by themselves, practically uncovered and proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the actual assassins of John Kennedy were E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis. Again, I can't say these things unless we can prove it. This issue was tried in a court of law in Florida, and the jury held that the authors who accused Hunt and Sturgis of being the actual assassins of John Kennedy did not slander or libel the assassins, Hunt and Sturgis, when they wrote about it in their book. And see, the CIA sued the authors for libel and lost. But, of course, the New York Times and the San Francisco Chronicle don't cover important trials like that because it deals with the very issue of the death of 2 million Vietnamese. You know, if Kennedy had lived, we probably would not have gone into Vietnam. But the Chronicle and the Examiner and the New York Times and the Washington Post can't deal with subjects like that because it's a secret. Now, I mentioned earlier about the Examiner story on Bush's direct involvement. By the way, that date was August 27th, 88. Notice how the Nation magazine and the Examiner both covered in the same month these stories, and very few people noticed it because it was in the heat of the 88 election, and the stories just slid right through. And until I wrote about this, until I started talking about it in 1989, nobody had noticed it. I actually got the story out nationwide eventually. But okay, it's almost time for some music and an announcement. If you want more information on Bush's role in the Kennedy assassination, there's going to be a 30-year commemorative special JFK Expo at the Hilton Hotel in San Francisco on Tuesday at 6 p.m. If you're interested in tickets, please call our office at 897-0153. That's Tuesday, 6 p.m. at the Hilton Hotel. RSVP, you can't just show up there because we won't tell you what the room number is or even anything more. And you have to come through our office and get tickets to go to it. It's not a public event. It's private by ticket only. That's 897-0153 to get tickets to the special slideshow and lecture on George Bush and Richard Nixon's role in the assassination of John Kennedy at the Hilton Hotel on Tuesday at 6 p.m. It's 6 to 10 p.m., 4 hours of slides, evidence, lectures, speeches, films, quite a bit of material. There's even banned books. We will have the book Coup d'etat in America for sale there. And so now some time for some music, appropriately political music. By the way, if you are a musician and you have a group and you're putting out some explicitly political music, I would prefer if it's about the assassinations of Dr. King or the Kennedys, but if it's not, give me a try. I'll probably play it anyhow because I like and prefer explicitly political music. So here's one called Prosecute Bush. This was sent to me by a musician, poet down in Austin, Texas, part of the effort to jail Bush for his role in the assassinations.
The big theme of the day is, you know, get out and vote. Well, I want to add to that a little bit.
Good.
This piece here is titled Prosecute Bush. Yeah.
Here we go.
Fawn Hall gives good shred. That's what Ollie North said. Hey, I say Bush is a liar. Of course he knew that the so-called National Security Council was dealing with Iran. Bush is one of the council's four members. He's a liar and an insult to the American public. Yeah. And there is now proof that during the 1980 presidential campaign, Bush struck a deal with the Iranians to keep the American embassy hostages until after the elections. Really, the first arms shipment started in 1981 as payment for keeping 52 Americans hostage for 76 days to be released on the day of Reagan's inauguration, January 20th, 1981. Subverting the election process goes beyond fraud and into treason. And of course he knew about the drugs deals and the arms deal of Noriega. He's been a key player in the drugs and arms racket since his days as head of the CIA. That's 1976. And it continued through the Reagan regime, and it continues still. Hey, Bush and Noriega are in the same gang, folks. This is the gang who brought us crack. And Bush is the one who wants the death penalty for drug felons.
Keep going.
Yeah. Well, I'm not for the death penalty. But I definitely want them prosecuted and convicted of high crimes and to serve hard time for a long, long time. A Congress with any backbone could get rid of the whole organization. Yeah, now is the time for statesmanship. Step forward and take your stand in history. Men and women of the United States, you have the power. Use it. Like the dude ain't wearing any clothes. You know what I mean? So there's two main themes I want to re-emphasize. The first is get out and vote. You know, like take part in the action and the passion of the times. Which leads me to my closing statement. For the next few minutes, I want to evoke the spirit of the 60s. Yeah, the enthusiasm for a better earth. A major theme then and now. I want you to join me in a chant. Yeah, one time for the Gipper, so to speak. Show this administration that there's more important things than a top 50 football team. Yeah, they're gonna pull the plugs a second here, so let's do it. Prosecute Bush! 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 Yeah!
And that was none other than the famous jazz musician, J.R. Ryan of Austin, Texas, with a little bit of word jazz right here on the radio in San Francisco. And let's think back now. If George Bush is going to have these 16 people that he's accused of attempting to shoot him prosecuted and murdered for this crime, we have to do something about it. So next week we're going to have a demonstration in front of the Federal Building demanding freedom for the 16 witnesses that have been arrested in Kuwait. Are you opposed to the death penalty? I'm opposed to the death penalty, except in cases like Nixon and Bush. I'm opposed to the death penalty being applied to these 16 innocent people in Iraq. There's no evidence anybody did anything. So we're going to have a demonstration in front of the Federal Building. Please give me a call at the office, 897-0153. And I'll let you know the details so that we can get an anti-death penalty rally going in front of the Federal Building and protect the people in Kuwait. If we don't do it, nobody would. Well, maybe somebody would, but it's important that we participate in this thing also. Now, let me dig back into Bush's background to show you some of the unbelievable stuff that's going on. Today in America, there's almost nobody who was alive November 22nd, 1963, who doesn't remember where they were, except for a couple people. George Bush is one of those people who claims he cannot remember where he was. Now, the reason it became an issue is that the San Francisco Examiner reporter found an FBI document indicating that George Bush, on November 22, 1963, called the police and said that he heard a guy named James Parrott, a Republican in the Republican Party, a political enemy of George Bush's, was talking about killing Kennedy when Kennedy comes to Texas. That happened November 22, 1963. Well, the FBI kept good notes. And what happened is then the reporter who found this FBI document took the document and confronted George Bush with it back in 88 when the document was found. And Bush denied making the call. So the reporter from the Examiner then took the document to the FBI and checked it out with them, and they verified it. They said not only did we get his first name, middle name, H.W., but last name, his home address, phone number, everything. We knew it was George Herbert Walker Bush. So there's two FBI documents now indicating George Bush was directly involved in the assassination of John Kennedy. If this is true, and it's been published in the Examiner and the Nation, even Life magazine has published the story on it. Yet you can't get a trial of people like the untouchables, like George Bush. So George Bush has to forget where he was the day Kennedy was killed. Have you ever met anybody like that? So why would Bush want to forget where he was unless he was up to something that he has to hide? Now, take this type of person with the blood of JFK on his hands and the blood of several thousand Iraqis on his hands, and even the blood of 2 million Vietnamese on his hands, and place him in one of the most paranoid countries in the world. What do you get? What do you get? Comedy. I mean, it's you have to approach it as comedy. You can't be down and serious all the time about this, even though there's 16 or 17 people facing the death penalty in Kuwait for this joke. We have to look at it as comedy. Remember, as part of the visit preparations for Bush, the Kuwait police arrested these 16 people, and they've got an arrest warrant out for the 17th. Now, you know, the usual suspects were rounded up, so-called stateless Arabs, and Iraqis living and working in Kuwait, and even a stray Kuwaiti or so. And while no shots were fired at Bush, the Kuwait Secret Service claimed they found some dangerous ideas in the heads of those arrested. Using the usually efficient methods of interrogation that the Iraqi, the Kuwait Secret Police used, all the suspects confessed. All of them, even though none of them had ever met each other before, all of them confessed to being members of a group called Justice for Kuwait Team, also known as the JFK Team. So as part of the investigation, several top FBI investigators and Secret Service agents from the United States were sent to Kuwait and Iraq for a week. Guess what? They found some evidence. One rifle was found, a scope-mounted Italian Mannlicher Carcano was found by an FBI agent under some boxes on the sixth floor of a building overlooking the motorcade route that George Bush was to have taken through Kuwait City. Can you imagine that? They found an Italian Mannlicher Carcano with a scope on it on the sixth floor of a building. And on the rifle were the fingerprints of none other than Saddam Hussein. There you have it. All the evidence you need to convict Saddam Hussein for the attempted assassination of President George Bush, former President George Bush. Now, as a result of this expert investigation by the FBI, Congress will now call for an invasion of Iraq in retaliation for Bush losing the election, right? Well, one can well imagine what would be happening in America today if Bush had been reelected here. That's what an incredibly close, weird call we would have had. You know, thank you to the American people who voted for Bill Clinton. I have to thank you from the bottom of my heart for getting rid of George Bush. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My mother always taught me to say thank you to the people who do something wonderful. So if you voted for Clinton, thank you. And if you voted for Clinton, thank you. And if you're helping to circulate the petitions to release the Watergate tapes, like Helen and Bruce and John and Frank and Kay and Marcia and Ellen and all these people that are out there. Okay, time for some more music. And if you would like to join the campaign to circulate petitions to release the Watergate tapes or come to the conference on Tuesday, please call our office, 897-0153. That's 897-0153. Hello, this is Paul Kangas, back again. Yes, that was the San Francisco Mime Troupe bringing us the great revolutionary music here in the Bay Area. They're in the San Francisco phone book if you want to contact them. All right. Now, while I was playing the song, somebody called me at the office and asked, called at the radio station, asked for me to give the address again of the conference. It's at the San Francisco Hilton Hotel. Again, the address for the special JFK conferences is at the San Francisco Hilton Hotel, Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. There will be, I'll be one of the speakers, speaking on the role of George Bush and Richard Nixon in the role of the assassination of John Kennedy. And we have a lot of evidence now, which you've probably heard about. So that's Tuesday, 6 p.m. You will need a ticket. Call the office, 897-0153, and we'll get you a ticket, because it's by ticket only, by invitation only. You can't just show up at the door. And that's the Hilton, Tuesday, 6 to 10 p.m. And the phone number of the office, again, is 897-0153. And I'm listed in the phone book, San Francisco phone book, Paul Kangas. Okay. Do you ever wonder why the CIA had to attack Oliver Stone's movie, JFK, months before anyone saw it? Well, I went to a movie recently and had a very strange reaction to it. The movie was called This Boy's Life. It's about a young boy growing up in eastern Washington. And it so happens where the movie takes place is exactly where I grew up. And the treatment the boy received at the hands of his stepfather is exactly the kind of treatment I received at the hands of my father, and to some lesser degree, my stepfather. So I had a very strong emotional reaction. In fact, I had to walk out of the movie halfway. I couldn't take the violence. I started screaming at the screen. I was so upset by the movie, and I had to walk out. It was embarrassing, but I guess I'll have to go back and sit through the whole movie. See, movies, what they do is they put a powerful imprint on you while you're watching them. So if you feel a certain way, and the imprint is exactly the opposite way you feel, then you react to it and you walk out. So what the CIA felt they had to do with Oliver Stone's movie is they had to supply people with a certain kind of data, not truthful information, lies, but we'll call it data, just to engage in the democratic discussion here over what the CIA did to a lot of people's minds. We're discussing brainwashing now. So what they do is they supplied a lot of people with data, that is criticism of Oliver Stone's movie, 6 months before the movie came out. That is the first time in the history of cinema, in the history of the world, in the history of history, where a movie was attacked before the movie was seen by anyone. Now, why do you suppose the CIA had to pull out all stops, had to unleash every CIA journalist asset it has in the media, from Dan Rather on down to Noam Chomsky, and attack the Oliver Stone movie? Because they were afraid that if people sat in the movie and watched what Oliver Stone had to say about the assassination of John Kennedy, that people would get an imprint of the truth and would come out of the theaters angry at the CIA and the military-industrial complex and Bush and Nixon. I don't know if you noticed or not, in the JFK movie it actually named Nixon as one of the assassins of John Kennedy. Take a look at the video. It's available in video stores now. And so they were afraid people would come out of the movie theaters with this strong imprint. So they had to unleash this tremendous journalistic effort to try and put an imprint on people's mind against the movie, so that when they went into the movie, that they would be inoculated against absorbing what the movie said. That's what happened. So, you see, as people sit passively in a movie and accept the story as it's told, the imprint is installed, and this is powerful. So what the CIA did was try and inoculate us against the movie. Unfortunately, for them, it didn't work. Now, another important topic of what's going on in the world, RU486. If you take a look at the war in Bosnia, try taking a look at it from another aspect. What's going on in Bosnia is the rise, prior to the wars going on, there was a women's movement going on there. Women were demanding more rights over there. And what happened, this went on for about 7 or 8 years, as women were demanding more rights over in Yugoslavia. There came a rise of chauvinism, of male chauvinism and fundamentalism. And so what you've got is you've got these fundamentalists, three different groups of fundamentalists over there, trying to seize control of the state to prevent women from coming to power. As women stood up and were speaking out over there and demanding liberation, the men reacted to it in terror to the rise of women in society, and it's going on all over the world. Take a look at the wars going on all over the world. Most of them are being driven by male fundamentalists who are afraid that women are becoming too powerful. Well, one of the key issues that keeps women out of power and poor is that women bear most of all the children and do most of the child care and the cleaning. So as women now have birth control methods, especially RU486, I mean, RU486 and the world political spectrum is like a hand grenade that the women have to fight for their liberation from unwanted pregnancy. Most women in the world do not have the right to stop men from either forcing them into marriage through the church and the educational system and the media. Everything focuses women into getting pregnant, get pregnant, get pregnant, get married. And so that's what most women do. They try to get pregnant first and married second. And now if women had birth control, like RU486, a very inexpensive, very effective, very safe form of birth control. And it's not only effective as an abortifacient, but it's very effective for treating cancer and AIDS. So the whole world is going to change now with RU486 becoming legal And hey, 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 guess who made it legal in the United States? Bill and Hillary Clinton. If it hadn't been for the election of Clinton, RU 486 would not be on its way pronto now. 1994, any woman in America is going to be able to walk into a clinic and ask ask any doctor to treat her with RU 486, and a woman anywhere in the United States in 1994 would be able to get an abortion for less than $50 in the privacy of any doctor's office. So if you're a woman thinking of getting an abortion, put some pressure on your doctor. Doesn't even have to be a gynecologist, I don't think, anymore. But try your gynecologist. Go to your gynecologist and say, hey, what do I have to do to get some of this RU 486? Clinton has made it legal. And put the pressure on the doctors. The doctors, in some ways, are standing in the way. There's too many male doctors in this country. Go put the pressure on the doctors to get the pill here now. And so we can use RU 486 to stop the war in Bosnia. If you want to take a look at the war from the point of view I'm talking about, you will see that it's basically a rise of fundamentalism over there. And one of the things you can use to fight fundamentalism is, besides giving everybody over there a passport and more education, is birth control information, because it gives women more power. But it isn't only Yugoslavia that needs it. Any Catholic country, like Mexico, all the Latin American countries, if there was anybody in the range of my voice listening that wants to have a career that's socially useful, that could change the world, I would suggest you start becoming an advocate for RU 486 and learn to speak Spanish and go to Latin America and become a businesswoman or business person selling RU 486. Sell it. Doesn't matter whether they allow it there or not. You simply import it down there and go around selling it to doctors and try and get RU 486 spread worldwide, because it helps with women's liberation wherever it's spread. And especially fighting the fundamentalist Christians that come out of the Catholic Church. I mean, the Catholic Church is absolutely a plague on the face of the earth, and it's got to be stopped. And RU 486 is an effective way to fight the Catholic Church. So I encourage women and men that want to do something to fight Catholicism and all forms of religion, all forms of fundamentalism, to use RU 486 to liberate women from the mind control that the church has over them, of turning them into nothing but breeders. Fully inoculate millions of people in the United States against the truth as told by Oliver Stone. The church does the same kind of thing by brainwashing us around issues like abortion and women's rights and whether or not the world is round. You probably know that at one time the church had the position that the earth was flat, and the scientists discovered the earth was round. Well, when scientists discovered the earth was round, the church and the state organized terrorist attacks on the scientists and had scientists burned at the stake for saying that the earth was round. The church position was that if the people discovered that the earth was round, they would no longer obey the church and walk away from the church. And that's one of the solutions I propose in Bosnia, is to give European community passports to everybody in Bosnia that wants one, to allow them to immigrate out of that church state, to get them away from the fundamentalists, the male fundamentalists who are dominating that country, and get the women access to birth control information so the women of Yugoslavia can have a better life. So that's the kinds of things that I saw in the movie This Boy's Life. And see, it's hard to understand why the CIA had to attack the Oliver Stone movie before it was shown. One of the best ways we can protect our democracy is to understand how we got into the mess we're in. It was because the CIA controls this country. We live in a dictatorship, which ABC is CIA, NBC is CIA, CBS is CIA. After all, think of what the word CIA stand for. It's Central Intelligence. That means they have to centralize all intelligence, centralize all ideas, control all ideas. So when Oliver Stone put out a movie that was contrary to the party line, which is accepted by most Democrats and most Republicans, you could talk to the most liberal, politically correct Democrat in San Francisco and ask them, who killed John Kennedy? And they'll go, duh, I don't know, and I don't care, and I don't get involved in stuff like that, because it's not important. John Kennedy is dead, and you shouldn't worry about things like that. Only conspiracy nuts worry about things like that. Well, think about that again. If they can kill John Kennedy and get away with it, why can't they do Clinton and anybody else, or Roberta Aschenberg or anybody else? They can. So are you going to allow a few ounces of lead to determine your elections, to determine your history, to determine your future every couple years? When somebody like Clinton gets elected, you know the CIA is drawing a bead on his head right now. They've got their telescopic rifles aimed at him. And to be politically correct nowadays means you have to take the position of banning the CIA. And there's many reasons to ban the CIA. Not only did they assassinate many important leaders around the world, progressive leaders around the world, good working class leaders around the world, but they assassinated Dr. Martin Luther King, Dorothy Kilgallen, Lee Bowers. Dr. Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy were important people, and you can't just let those people be murdered and not do anything about it. You know, the Filipino people didn't roll over and play dead when the CIA assassinated Aquino. The Filipino people stood up and did something about it. And I'll give you an example of 100 years ago in France. Emile Zola, the most important writer in France, stood up and fought the CIA of his day. It took him 12 years to free Dreyfus. So you can't just think you're politically correct if you make jokes about the killing of Kennedy, or go along with the CIA jokes about Kennedy, John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and Marilyn Monroe, all three sleeping in the same bed. Personally, I don't see anything wrong with the three of them sleeping in the same bed. I think that's a perfectly acceptable form of fun. I would rather see President Kennedy sleeping around than killing people. In fact, psychologists claim that people who engage in regular sexual activity are more peaceful and less violent. So it should be politically correct to sleep around, provided you use safe sex. The question is, did Clinton, does he play safe sex? Yes, I think he plays very safe sex, so we've got to protect him by understanding what got us into this mess. And of course, talking like this doesn't do any good unless I propose lines of action. Okay, you've probably heard, if you listen to the earlier part of the program, we're going to have a demonstration next week demanding that the government of Kuwait not execute the witnesses who they claim were thinking about assassinating George Bush, a dead man. I mean, you can't kill a dead man. George Bush is dead. Anyhow, so we have to stop the murder of those witnesses, those innocents in Kuwait. We're having a demonstration. Our telephone number is 897-0153. Plus, we're having a special conference at the Hilton Hotel on the role of George Bush and Richard Nixon in the assassination of President John Kennedy. And we're trying to alert the whole population of the United States, and indeed the world, to the crimes of George Bush and Richard Nixon. They're alive. We can still put them on trial. I've got some handcuffs and a subpoena. I'm looking for a judge now to sign the subpoena so we can go out and arrest George Bush, put him on trial for the assassination of John Kennedy. We've got enough evidence to convict him. We just have to find somebody with some guts, a judge with some guts. Citizens of San Francisco, stand up and engage in some statesmanship. Now is the time that we can seize history and prevent the sons of George Bush from coming back. We can prevent George Bush from coming back. Hey, we can save a lot of money too. Remember, he's living on our retirement tax dollars. You know, he gets paid a tremendous amount of money for having been president of the United States and ripping us off for 4 years and being a vice president. He's a triple dipper, and if we can convict him of a felony, for the murder of President John Kennedy, that cuts off his retirement. That's justification right there, enough right there for putting him on trial. Think about that. Another thing we're doing is circulating petitions calling for the release of the Watergate tapes. Did you see they released another 25 hours of the Watergate tapes? What is it about these 4,000 hours of Watergate tapes that they're afraid to release all 4,000 hours at once? Come on, give me a break. What's so secret about these tapes? Well, what's secret about these tapes is on the tapes, Richard Nixon and George Bush are openly talking about their plans to kill Jack Anderson, Dr. Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, John Kennedy. See, Nixon never expected the tapes would ever be public. It was his secret, his private tape system. It was not supposed to be blown. Nobody was supposed to know about it. This was his private secret and that he could use to blackmail people with later. Only it got found out about thanks to Alexander Butterfield. Thank you, Mr. Butterfield. I really appreciate you dropping the dime on Dick Nixon and George Bush. Now, if we could just free the tapes, free the 4,000 hours of tapes, we would be able to get a real prosecution. Aha, that's right. We can subpoena all 4,000 hours of tapes. If we could find a judge who would sign this subpoena to arrest Richard Nixon and George Bush for the assassination of John Kennedy, you know, any attorney can do it. Any judge can do it. Any district attorney can do it. And put on a trial. And then subpoena all 4,000 hours of the Watergate tapes as the best evidence of Nixon and Bush's role in the assassination of President John Kennedy. We could have a humdinger of a trial. We could have a lot of fun, a lot of comedy, a lot of humor, and put some handcuffs on the biggest criminals of the century, and clean up, do our homework before the millennium. You know, we've got to do this before the year 2000. It's 1993 already, 1999 is approaching, folks, so let's not let this get out of hand. Let's get some handcuffs on Nixon, get some handcuffs on Bush, and get them prosecuted for the crimes they've committed. Hey, whether it's whichever crime is your favorite crime that Bush committed, you could ask 100 people what crimes George Bush committed that would justify him going to the gallows. Well, let's not execute him. And justify him going to jail, and you talk to 100 people, you're going to get 50 different reasons why George Bush should be arrested. The majority of the people in the United States think George Bush belongs in jail. The only problem is they don't do anything with their opinions. They don't petition Congress. We've got somebody in the White House who will listen finally, possibly the first time in 30 years. So don't be afraid to write a postcard to Clinton, ask him to jail Bush for the murder of John Kennedy. And if you would like some of the evidence, some of the files on Bush's role, I will send you free, absolutely free, the files on George Bush's role in the assassination of John Kennedy. Just send a self-addressed stamped envelope to me, Paul Kangas, at P.O. Box 422-644, San Francisco 94142, and I'll send the stuff to you free. Of course, if you send me a donation, I'll send you even more material. I've got a lot of material. You could easily send me $50, and I would send you a reasonable amount. As a matter of fact, if you don't like the information I send you, if you send me money, and I send you information, you don't like it, send it back. I'll give you a full refund. Is that fair? You know, send me as much money as information you want, and I'll send you the information. Or you can just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send you the basics. So at least you know the basics. Like the story out of the Examiner. Dynamite stuff. Now you can go to the library and look it up, or you can send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, whichever. As a matter of fact, if you want to do it anonymously, you just go down and look it up in the San Francisco Library. It's August 25th, 1988, page 8, I think it was, in the lower part of page 8. Now you've heard me in the past on this program call for songs. And I'm still looking for songs dealing specifically with the assassinations of Dr. King and President Kennedy. But I'm also looking for other songs dealing with RU486. So if you're a musician and you have something to say about the pill, please send me a copy of your material and I'll put it out over the air and let the listeners decide whether or not it's great. right now, here's the only song I could find dealing with RU486.
You whined me and dined me when I was your girl. Promised if I'd be your wife, you'd show me the world. But all I've seen of this old world is a bed and a doctor bill. I'm tearing down your brooder house, 'cause now I've got the pill. All these years I've stayed at home while you had all your fun. And every year that's gone by, another baby's come. There's gonna be some changes made right here on Nursery Hill. You set this chicken your last time, 'cause now I've got the pill. This old maternity dress I've got is going in the garbage. The clothes I'm wearing from now on won't take up so much yardage. Mini skirts, hot pants, and a few little fancy frills. Yeah, I'm making up for all those years since I've got the pill. I'm tired of all your crowing, how you and your hens play, while holding a couple in my arms, another's on the way. This chicken's done for up her nest, and I'm ready to make a deal. And you can't afford to turn it down, 'cause you know I've got the pill. Mama's got the pill. Oh, Daddy, don't you worry none, 'cause Mama's got the pill.
And there you have it, Loretta Lynn doing her song about RU486. In the arena of women's liberation, probably RU486 will be like a hand grenade. RU486 will allow women to have more say-so, more control over their lives. And it's not only the world's safest, most effective, cheapest abortifacient, it's also very useful in treating AIDS, cancer, all types of cancer. So it's important that this country take the lead on the distribution of RU486 worldwide. If there are women listening who are thinking of a career, you could probably pick none better, even men, pick none better than trying to spread RU486 into all the Catholic areas of the world, Mexico, anywhere in Latin America, any area where religious fundamentalism is on the rise. If a woman was to try and make a living and have a career distributing RU486 to the women in those areas, that would be probably the most effective long-range thing a person could do to, say, end the strife in Bosnia, that's mainly male-dominated strife that has little to do with the lives of the women over there and is making the lives of the women over there more wretched. So no matter which group dominates in Yugoslavia, women will suffer. And the way to fight back against that insanity would be to give women over there more power through education and birth control. And likewise, in all the Latin American countries, wherever the Catholic Church dominates, RU486 could be one of the most effective ways to fight the insidious, destructive nature of the Catholic Church here and worldwide. So I'm looking for musical material or comedy, if people have comedy routines dealing with RU486. I'd love to get a tape of it and air it. Thank you. As we close out the program, I just want to remind people that there's going to be a special JFK conference at the San Francisco Hilton Hotel on Tuesday at 6 to 10 p.m. And if you're interested in tickets, please call our office at 897-0153. The conference will mainly deal with the role of George Bush and Richard Nixon in the assassination of President Kennedy. But we will also touch upon the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, and Malcolm X. These four assassinations were all intimately connected in that period in history, and we should no longer allow our history to be kept a mystery. So this conference at the Hilton Hotel on Tuesday at 6 p.m. will tie together the assassinations of John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, and Malcolm X, and show the connections and the how the historical period that produced this terrible bloodbath that the world went through thanks to the CIA's murder of these important leaders in this country. We can't allow the CIA to continue. We must call for the banning of the CIA, and I urge people to write to President Clinton. He's going to be a one-term president, you know. ABC, NBC, and CBS will see to that. So you've only got 3 years left of the Clinton presidency. He's got to move now to do what he's going to do, because he's not going to get a second chance. He gets one bite at the apple, and that's it. So he's going to have to call for legalization of marijuana. And the prisons are full of people who don't belong there. They were put there by the illegal marijuana laws. And so many people's lives have been ruined by these terrible laws that it's important that we inspire Clinton to call for the legalization and clean out the prisons. I mean, half the people in there don't belong there. Oh, by the way, did you see the cartoon strip in the San Francisco Chronicle on Wednesday? It was the Gary Larson Far Side. It goes like this. More facts of nature. All forest animals, to this very day, remember exactly where they were and what they were doing when they heard that Bambi's mother had been shot. That's a direct Gary Larson cartoon takeoff on the fact that George Bush can't remember where he was the day John Kennedy was shot. Why? Because George Bush was in Dallas, Texas, supervising the assassination of President John Kennedy. And we have got to get some handcuffs on George Bush before he murders more people. He's trying to murder people in Kuwait now, and we've got to stop him. It's our job. This has been Paul Kangas, the program Reality Sandwich on KPOO San Francisco. And the opinions expressed on this program are solely those of your host, Paul Kangas, and guests that appear occasionally on the program. KPU is not responsible for the opinions. Thank you for the freedom of speech, San Francisco.
Listen, son, now's not the time to turn your back or turn.